In today's Holy Gospel, Jesus is sending the disciples out two by two was a sign that God's kingdom was breaking in at last. It was urgent to get this message out and for the disciples to take the bare minimum with them, obediently relying on local hospitality, focusing only on the task at hand, the task that they were given by Jesus with specific instructions needed to be followed and followed by the letter. Jesus was very, very specific to them in how they were to carry out this message with absolutely no deviation. Recently, during my daily office readings, I was stopped dead in my tracks by one of the readings. My immediate thought was, you have got to be kidding. We're seeing the very same thing being done today, all around us. The reading was Numbers 20, verses 1 to 13. And I want to share with you some of those verses. I could not believe the correlation and the direct connection to today's Holy Gospel from Mark. So I'd like to share some of those verses with you. From Numbers 20, verses 7 and 8, the Lord said to Moses, take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You'll bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink. It goes on in verses 11 and 12. Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and the livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. Moses was given clear instructions by God to go, take his staff along with him, with Aaron, and speak to the rock, and it will give water. He said nothing about using the staff. Now, don't get me wrong, there was a time earlier at the very same place at Meribah that God had told Moses to strike the rock once and water poured forth. This time, God did not tell him to do it with the staff. He said nothing about the staff other than carry it with you, along with your brother. He should have hit his brother with the staff. He didn't tell him to hit anything. You see, I think Moses had a touch of Frank Sinatra in him. He did it his way. Don't worry, I won't sing. But not once. He did it twice. Could he do what he was told? Could he be obedient to the creator of the water, of the rock, of everything? As John Belushi would say, but no. We can make fun all we want. But the fact remains that the God of the universe and the God of detail gave very clear and implicit instructions. And mankind couldn't follow them. This, of course, was not the first time. Remember the Garden of Eden? It certainly wouldn't be the last. In the Garden of Eden, and I love having a church, children's chapel, I will teach them from the scriptures about the fruit. And then we go back from time to time and say, now, what kind of fruit was it? And they'll say, we don't know. Of course, everybody likes to make it an apple. It could have been a pomegranate. It could have been a kumquat. It could have been anything. Might have been a peach. But it doesn't say. God's implicit instructions at that time was, you may have anything to eat except the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They could have anything they wanted. We don't need to go into that. That's a sermon for another day. God wanted to show his power and his majesty, but Moses couldn't follow the Lord's will. God clearly told him what to do, but Moses had a better idea. And because of that, both Moses and Aaron paid the penalty. They did not get to go into the promised land, and they died instead. Don't put words or actions in God's mouth. His word does his speaking. Nothing is clearer to us than the recent redefinition of God's instruction in his word that marriage is between one man and one woman, redefined by the Supreme Court of the United States. I believe that no one should redefine God's holy word, ever. I'll say that again. No one should redefine God's holy word, ever. We cannot play God, nor can the Supreme Court of the United States. Jesus told his 12 special people to be leaders, to be fishers of men. They were hard workers who would also have to be special followers, people who could follow orders. And so I'm going to give you instructions. Please open your Red Pew Bibles to page 1565, to today's Holy Gospel, Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. 1565. And you'll see the subtitle, Jesus Sends Out the 12. We'll start with verse 6. Then Jesus went into the village, teaching from village to village. Calling out the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and give them authority over impure spirits. And we'll continue. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt or an extra tunic. They were called to be kingdom heralds, warning people that something was about to happen and that everyone needed to get ready for it. Do you remember listening to the radio and hearing the EBS test? You remember? If you don't remember what the term EBS test, you might remember it this way. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. The broadcasters in your area, in cooperation with yada, 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 this is only a test. That's the way I used to do it. Then you'd hear a loud tone, and I will not do the tone, don't worry. And it made you want to turn off the radio at that time and say, I'll come back when there's a song on it. But then these words were heard. Had this been an actual emergency, you would have been instructed, and so on. You know the rest. I must have executed hundreds of these tests over my 30-plus years behind a microphone. See, I was also, many of those years, my own engineer. I played my own records, you know, those round things that we used to play. And then it went to cartridges and then to CDs, or DVDs, rather. My point is that when we had to do that test, while the tone was going off, we had to go to the teletype machine. Yeah, we actually had teletype machines that would give us the news from United Press International, UPI, or some other service, and had to make sure that this was not the real thing happening. And every station had an EBS monitor as well that we would have, and if it went off, you'd get a light go off because you wouldn't want a sound going off when you're in the studio. But you would check it, and you'd listen for instructions. You see, in every radio station back in the day, and still today, there's a packet hanging on the wall. And in that packet contains two envelopes, a yellow envelope and a red envelope. If you were instructed to open the yellow one, it'd be serious. And it might be full of evacuation instructions and more. But if you had to open the red envelope, it was much, much more serious. It contained instructions for survival in the face of an actual impending nuclear attack or a disaster that was happening. It was and still is all about preparation, getting ready to survive. Of course, during the Cold War, back in the 80s, it was really significant to be ready for that. And you knew that if you got that red envelope, you'd be saying bye-bye. Jesus' message that the apostles brought to these people was the equivalent of the red envelope. Survival instructions. And following these instructions meant one's eternal salvation. Getting ready would mean repenting. Not just feeling sorry for particular sins, but changing your entire outlook, behavior, and aims in life. Jesus and his agenda left no room for compromise and certainly no time to waste. And you know what? Jesus' agenda hasn't changed, or at least he hasn't changed it. But others have tried to. We're witnesses of that. And others still have said that the Holy Spirit has changed it. In fact, I've heard said that the Holy Spirit is doing a new thing. The Holy Spirit has only done one thing, and that is bless us with salvation and grace. Jesus' agenda of going to the cross to pay the price for each of our sins has not changed, and neither has our end of it. Repenting for our sins, turning away from wrong behavior with the help of Almighty God. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Jesus anticipated that some places would not welcome his message with open arms. And sadly, there are some people who would rather stay sick than face the challenge of a new way of life, transformed way of life, a whole new moral outlook than what they're used to. That's why the only response that Jesus' disciples were to have was clearly symbolic. I want you to look at verse 11. Keep that open on verse 11, where Jesus said to his disciples, "And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as testimony against them." Shake the dust off meant essentially treating those Jewish cities as if they were unclean pagan cities, the dust of which the true followers of God would not want remaining on them, because they too would be unclean. How much easier it would have been for the 12 to show resentment and anger at the rejection by those people. But there was no time to waste. Jesus' mission was on an incredible and breathless pace. There was indeed no time to waste. And they'd have to go and move on to the next place. And may God have mercy upon those who missed their chance. Jesus was not sending the disciples out on a training mission. This was not a test or a divine act of delegation of power. Instead, this was deeply symbolic, a symbolic act of witness to Israel of Jesus' day as to what time it was in God's almighty and urgent timetable. Israel's history, in fact, the history of the whole world, was racing towards a dramatic climax, a showdown that would take place on the cross at Calvary. Being obedient, the apostles preached repentance, drove out demons, and healed many sick people. That's what the gospel tells us today. Jesus gave them authority, the right and the power over evil spirits. What they would do would authenticate their preaching and their authority. Remember, this was not just some guys off the street, but these were men who worked closely with the Lord Jesus and knew that his power extended far beyond his personal presence. And his instructions were very real. This was not negotiable. And they had to hurry to do the job that Jesus had given them. This was truly the coming of the kingdom of Almighty God. in Jesus' sending the disciples, they were going to carry out the things that he would do if he was there himself. The 12 were sent to preach the word and lead people to trust the one and only Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, and to repent of their sins, changing their lives and their behavior. Jesus, his death on the cross was coming, and people needed to get ready. These disciples would have a further mission after Jesus ascended to heaven. In Mark chapter 16, verse 20, "And they went out and proclaimed the good news everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that accompanied it." Jesus' detailed instructions for the disciples to go out two by two was a call specifically meant for that particular point in time, facing the coming crisis, the greatest crisis, the death of Jesus on the cross. We're well aware that the church itself would be faced with crisis after crisis at various points throughout its history ever since. Part of true Christian discipleship is the spiritual sensitivity and discernment to know when there's an emergency and then what to do regarding it. The moral decay that is rapidly changing the face of society, you got to admit, it's frightening. Where some can and will justify just about anything just because they will not submit to anyone's authority but their own. Instead, they cry out, "Because I want to. It's my right. It's who I am, the real me. Accept me just the way I am." Oh, and the favorite retort to anyone's questioning of their behavior? "Don't judge me." How many times have you heard that? And I'm not talking about one particular behavior. There's many behaviors that people respond, "Don't judge me." It might be a gambling problem. It might be a drinking or drug alcohol problem. "Don't judge me." We could all spend hours recalling the number of times that we've heard the words of Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." The ones who deny the very authority of Holy Scripture use it to justify it for their own needs, when it suits them. For the ones who use Holy Scripture as a loose justification for their behavior, I'd like to direct them to the prophetic words of the Apostle Paul in his second letter to Timothy, chapter 4, verses 3 and 5. I'd like to share it with you and see if that doesn't fit today's day and age. "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry." Teachers, politicians, the media, bishops, and even judges are all compromised to say what their itching ears want to hear. We have been called, like the 12 disciples, to warn people that the world is heading rapidly in the wrong direction and to show the world that evil has been defeated through Jesus Christ and can be defeated again today by standing on his holy word. And our focus has got to be on Jesus' work, on Jesus' message, without delay. I want you to hear again what Paul said to the Galatians in chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. "I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. It's not calling us to anger. It's calling us to example. Example through love. The one true gospel of Jesus Christ is a life-giving and transforming gospel. One that changes us in our behavior and does not mean for us to change it. Everyone is welcome in this church. Everyone. And there's two things we need to check at the door. One, our sexuality. And the other, our unwillingness to be transformed by the love of Jesus Christ. You come into this place, be ready for God to do something with your life, as is evidenced by every single person in this place. God has changed us. God has transformed us. It's not replacing the gospel with a more convenient social gospel. It's following the word of God. And Jesus has given us a charge. We've been called upon to open the red envelope, the instructions for survival in him. Isn't it absolutely amazing that every pew has two red envelopes? Getting ready means repenting. Not just feeling sorry for particular sins, but changing one's entire outlook and aims in life. Jesus' agenda is unchanging, and it has no room for compromise, and there is certainly no time to waste. John 14:6. You're familiar with these words. Jesus said on the night before he died, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of Almighty God, is the truth. And in John 8:31-32, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Have you ever seen the compass rose? The compass rose is the symbol of the Anglican Communion. And it's on a flag. You can go out to the Anglican Communion website and see the compass rose. It's quite beautiful. But there are some Greek words that center the circle of the compass. And those words are the ones I just read to you. And the truth will make you free. If we really are to be free and to call ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ, true Christians, then we absolutely, like the disciples, need to follow his instructions. We're not to add to them. We're not to do our own thing, like Moses and the rock. And we are to be gratefully obedient and to do his word. And in closing, I want to share with you the words of Jesus' own brother, James, in his epistle, chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.